Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
It's all right. We're just glad that you're here. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. And happy Father's Day to all of you. Now, we also know that it's not always a good day for everybody. Not everybody had a great childhood. Not everybody had a great loving father. But yet we know a good father, and that is our Lord and Savior, our God. And so in him we have all of our goodness. And for just how we go through this day, we're going to finish up on the second part of prayers that shake, and how we can pray that power of heaven, not only into our lives, but the lives of other people. So as you worship today, here's what I want you to focus on. Focus on just thinking about how you have right now, okay, you have a seat in heaven. Because Christ is seated in heaven, you have a place already there, and that power flows into you and through you. So how can we use that in the world? How can we use that to shake people's lives, to shake our lives, to shake our families' lives, and to change the world around us? Those are the prayers that shake. And part of those prayers are also our worship in heaven itself, which we'll talk about. So let's stand, let's shake the ground, let's shake the world with our worship, not just in volume, okay, but in the power in which we worship. Lord God, come and your presence be known here today, Lord. I know you're already with us, you're already waiting upon us, Lord. You reside inside of us. Lord, right now in heaven, there's a great time of worship going on that never ends. But Lord, we're going to join that heavenly chorus. Lord, we are going to worship. We're going to get the attention of heaven with our praises. And Lord, you are going to know that we are faithful and that we are yours. And Lord, let the other part of the world know it as well. We love you and we thank you. In the name of Christ, amen. Lord God, thank you, thank you, thank you for your sacrifice, for us to be able to do exactly what we're doing now. Giving you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, all the people said, amen. You may be seated. Kids, children's worship's out the door over there with Pastor Ashley. Great things going on in there today. For us to just have our time of prayer in our moments of worship here, I'm just going to kind of wrap it all into one today, a prayer and then a prayer for our finances. If you want to give, there's links online. There's black boxes on the wall out there that you can deposit those into as well. And just know that your prayers are heard, whether I know them or not. The Lord knows them. That's what's important. And so as we pray to him, not only just lift up your lives to him, but also the lives to others around you. And then also just to really, as we said last week, just to glorify God. So, Lord, we are here in your presence, Lord, to give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Lord, you are the ultimate father figure. Father, you are the ultimate father. Lord, you are our Father in heaven, but also the Father of our eternal salvation. Lord, the good Father who gave us your Son, that we might have eternal life, that we might have forgiveness, that we might have life abundance, Lord, in this life right now, but also eternally. So, Lord, thank you. Lord, I sincerely thank you. There are so many things going on in the world. Lord, I appreciate your steadfastness. Lord, I appreciate the fact that you are unchanged. You are the same day in and day out. Lord, you are the foundation that we can rely on. Lord, that I can rest upon. Thank you for that. Lord, and you know our needs. Father, you know our concerns. You know our fears. You know our joys. Lord, you know the deficits of our lives, Lord, that need to be filled. And so, Lord, we just lift those to you, Lord, corporately, but also individually. And Lord, and just in our little family of faith here, Lord, this past week, just three dear saints, Lord, that are with you in heaven at this very moment. Lord, I pray for their families, Lord, that you would just touch them. Lord, that you would fill the gap that their loved one leaves in their life. Fill that gap with your Holy Spirit. Bridge that gap with your Holy Spirit until we can all be together again, feasting, as we say, at your heavenly banquet for all of eternity. Lord, encircled around your throne. Lord, giving you glory, honor, and praise. Lord, worshiping you. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. All in the name of Christ, the people said, amen, amen. So I don't know if you noticed, I'm sure some of you did, some of you keep up with this in your heads very well. Today was pretty much the same worship set as it was last week, and that is because it really all centered around our prayers, these prayers that shake, this idea of our prayers being worship. And so I just asked Dallas to do it again this week. Normally we don't repeat from week to week to week, but just the theology of those songs, the wording of those songs, the choruses all just fit perfectly into what we're talking about. And so I hope you, one, took notice of that, but two, that it really settles inside of you as you hear the words today, those words out of Revelation that I already spoke to you, that idea of our prayers being an incense to God. And we're going to talk about what that really means. Last week I said that you needed to tap in, right? Tap into the mission and the power of God. Let me get this up here for you. I apologize. Tap into the mission of God to be able to get to the power of God, to have that coming up inside of you, to tap into that, to move into the world, to move through your life. You have to do that. That I'm going to put that up there for you. Why would we do that? Why would we pray? Well, it really is so we will have that supernatural activity, that we'll participate in God's supernatural activity. Not that we're asking God to do anything different than He already does. Not that we're asking Him to do anything new. We're asking that we would be included in it, that we would come alongside of Him, and so we would know, we would be intimately aware of His own heart as we grow in Christ, and so we'll participate in that activity. Our prayers will reflect that. Our love will reflect that. Our actions will reflect that. And then I also said that prayer is not an escape from responsibility, right? It doesn't, how many of you besides me the night before whatever test you had to take, help me recall everything that I haven't studied. Amen? Yeah. Anybody ever sleep on your math book just hoping that it would soak up into your brain, right? I've heard of it. I didn't do it, but I've heard of it. And we don't want to relieve ourselves of the responsibility, but what we want to do is have a response to God's ability. What He's doing, once again, what He's capable of, His power and His mission in the world. And then finally, I said that the common goal of every prayer should be to glorify God. And so that was from last week. If you want the sermon notes from this week, you can text that phone number right there and you will get those. I'll put the QR code up there in just a moment. But I've already read to you Revelation 5, 6 through 12, but I want to go back to Revelation 5, 1. And how we start this discussion today, because as you heard about who's surrounding the throne, including the Lamb of God, it starts out this way. It says, "Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain." What does that mean? Why did it look like it had been slain? Well, we go back to participating in God's activity. We go back and participating where Jesus said, we did this last week, but just to recap, Jesus said, you know, really, Lord, I don't want to do this. God, I don't want to have to go through this. I don't want to have to go through this suffering. But then he really says, why am I even asking this question? This is my purpose. This is why I am here. This is my part of God's mission. And so it's not that I don't want to go through the purpose and I don't want to fulfill the mission, but I need to know how I'm going to do it and I need your power to be able to do it. Let your will be done, God, not mine, okay? Let your will be done. And so when we think of this, and so first of all, he knew the mission. Second of all, he had the power. And then third of all, he carried it out. It says, Then I saw the Lamb looking as if it had been slain. Sorry. Because when he had been praying, he really asked God in his prayer. He said, Lord, in the middle of this, you be glorified. See, that's only where the miracle happened. The glorification of God in the midst of the mission is where the glory took place. It's for Jesus to recognize this is what God wanted, and for him to carry that out, gave all glory to God. And that's what you and I need. And that takes an in-depth relationship with the Lord to be able to carry out his mission. And how do we have that in-depth relationship? It's constant communication. It's always being connected. It's always having the heart and the mind of the Lord, and always asking where he's moving and what he's doing and how can I participate in it? How can you participate in it? With the person you're sitting next to, with your family and your friends and your neighbors and in the community, how can you do this? This is what is so important. Each one of those, okay, I'm going to go back to this now. I'm going to read it to you one more time, this passage of Scripture, because I want to point out two pieces today, two quick pieces, okay? Standing at the center of the throne, encircled by four living creatures and the elders, the Lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Your prayers, my prayers. And they sang a new song, and we talked about that, but at the end of that it says, there's part of their song is, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power, wealth, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and praise. Those seven characteristics, the seven things when he said that, he said those seven characteristics, those seven spirits that go out into all the earth, that's what he's saying, that he is worthy to pull back and to take for himself. So for us, listen, your prayers matter. These prayers that shake, right? These prayers that we talked about last week when they were when the community prayed that they would have boldness to preach the word of God, that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. They were, and the ground shook, and they were emboldened. They did receive new power. They received the Holy Spirit, and they could go and they could do what God asked them to do. They could do what they knew they needed to for their friends, their families, their neighbors, and their community. That's what you need, because I believe, contrary to Scripture, not that I believe contrary to Scripture, but what we say is we're shy, we're timid, we're scared, we're fearful, we don't know enough. Scripture says you don't have a spirit of fear or timidity, right? We need this power to overcome the fear and the timidity, because that's not the power that God has given us. That's not the spirit that God has given us. God has given you this spirit to do things in his holy name, to do more than we understand. And hear me, this is a song of perfection. Okay, this new song that they're singing. Every time you hear anything that's numerically a seven, it's perfect. Scripture's pointing to perfection. And so when he talks about all the different characteristics of God, he's talking about perfection, that they're singing a song of perfection about who God is, and they're singing it to him. How many of you know, how many of you could just, oh man, I wish I could just think of a song right now. I got one. Everybody in the room is going to know it. If you were anywhere around the 70s, 80s, and 90s, I'm not sure the youngsters that are probably 15 years or younger are going to know this song, but you're going to be able to finish these lyrics. Are you ready? You've got to know when to... Yeah, how many times have you sung that song? A million. Okay? And so as we sing these songs, whether you like it or not, they become a part of you. That's why it matters what we listen to. That's why it matters what we read. That's why it matters what we watch, because it really does become a part of us. Okay? And so when they're singing these songs, it's a part of who they are, and they are reveling in the character of God that's in their life, and they're giving glory and praise and honor to him that gave it to them. So for us, when we sing these songs, boy, I got chill bumps. I don't know why, but my goodness, when we sing these songs, worthy is the Lamb. When we talk about the goodness of God, when we talk about His power, when we talk about thanking Him, when we sing those, it becomes a part of us. And so it's important that it change us. It changes us. Now listen, the other thing that it says, in one hand is a harp for worship, okay, providing, listen to me, providing the atmosphere in which God lives. Think about it. I have my own way of what I believe heaven's going to look like and what the throne room looks like. Some of you automatically got a picture of the Wizard of Oz. It's way better than that. Okay, and there's nobody behind the curtain doing the levers and the smoke and the fire, okay? But just think about a giant, huge, magnificent throne room and the music that's going on in there, okay? You're going to have your own idea of what you think the music is going to be and what you hope it is or what you hope it isn't. I think we're all going to be surprised, amen, pleasantly surprised. And if you think there's not going to be a drum cage in heaven, I think you're sadly mistaken. I think if you don't think there's going to be an organ in heaven, I think you're sadly mistaken. I think everything's going to be there. It's going to be beautiful, more than we could ever possibly imagine. But that's the atmosphere that God lives in. That's the heavenly air that He breathes. That's the heavenly sounds that He hears. The worship of Him who sits on the throne. And we, okay, so those are the people that are already there, especially those particular ones. We hadn't even talked about all the singing that's going on, but that's the atmosphere that's created right around the throne. But then how do we participate? It says, in the other hand, they were holding golden bowls of incense. Now, this is important. Because this, we think of, y'all can just see them right now. How many of you have a diffuser in your house, whether it's made by Scentsy or somebody else, and you see the mist coming out of it? And so if you can just imagine one of those, or two of those, or 1,000 of those, right? And you can see that mist going up. Or if you want to go back to the 70s, how many of you, or the 60s, if you're old enough, how many of you want to admit that you had the little brass incense burners that you could take the top off of and it had the holes in it? I'd really love to see the people that had those. Oh yeah, there's 1, 2, 3. Yeah, there's some of you. Yeah, I remember them in my brother and sister's room. And I'm not going to pretend I don't know what that was covering up while they were in there with their friends. But that's another story for another day. And I mean, I was only 6 or 7, but I remember. And especially when I became a cop and I learned what that smell really was. Yeah, yeah, I hope they're not watching today. But truth hurts. That's just the way it is. But that we think of incense, that just changes the smell of a room. Or if you're burning essential oils and that kind of thing, diffusing essential oils, you're trying to cleanse the air and bring a new aroma, a new purity to the room. See, incense in the Bible is all about replicating a sacrifice. Okay, that smell and that aroma and that smoke going up replicates sacrifice, replicates the worship that comes from sacrifice. Instead of taking an animal and putting it on the altar and sacrificing it, they were later, and obviously in heaven, the incense, the aroma is a part of that worship and a part of that sacrifice. And look what it says that is. It's your prayer. It says there's worship, there's music around the throne, and there's your prayers going up as an act of worship, as an act of sacrifice for God. That's the atmosphere He lives in. That's the aroma, that's the smell, that's the oxygen, that's the sounds, that's everything in heaven around the throne. So my question for you is, as you think about that, what are you sending up into the atmosphere of heaven that is a fragrance around God? That He's hearing and smelling. That He's that's actionable in His life, in the life of heaven. What are you, how are your prayers a sacrifice before Him? See, Ephesians 2:6, it says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." I've been trying to explain this for about a year, and I'm going to try to do it a different way today. You have, as a Christian, as a born-again Christian, as a Spirit-filled Christian, as somebody called according to the Word of God to be a child of God for all of eternity, you already have a seat in heaven. You already have a seat in the throne room. And right now, because you are in Christ, you are in Christ, you have been raised from the dead, from your eternal death, freed and forgiven of your sins, you sit in Christ right now in the throne room. I'll just let that soak in for a minute, because it is hard to comprehend. It is hard to understand. How can we already have a seat in heaven while we're still here? It's no different than Christ being in heaven and he's still here. Again, that's easy to say. It's hard to comprehend, but it means that we're not there yet physically, but we are already connected. We are already there. We are already part of it, and part of it is because we're in Christ, and the other part of it is because we're sending up our prayers, and they're around the throne room, prayers that may have not been answered yet. Prayers that may have been answered but are still there. Prayers of your friends, prayers for your family, prayers for healing, prayers for finances, prayers of thanksgiving, crisis prayers. Anybody have those? Yes. Yeah, I mean, just when we say, "Lord, help," right? Or, "Lord, save," or, "Lord, whatever it is," right? Or the prayers of thanksgiving. All of those prayers, they are filling the bowls around God. So they matter. When you talk, because listen to me, when you talk to God, it's an act of faith. Prayers that shake your life and the life of those around you, you may not feel the shaking today, but in faith, we believe the shaking will take place. In faith, they are in heaven. In faith, it's an act of worship. How can that incense be an act of worship to God? Because you have faith enough to talk to God today. You have faith enough to believe that when you give that to God, that something will start happening. You have faith to believe enough to just talk to something, about something to someone you cannot see, that you cannot touch, that you cannot physically feel, right? Faith. That's what's in those bowls. Your actionable, faith-filled prayers. Now then, a lot of you go, "Man, I just didn't think that prayer mattered. I mean, I prayed, I got a sticker, and boy, it really hurt. I'm like, oh, Lord, make that pain go away. Or, oh, Lord, I heard an ambulance, and I prayed for them, but, you know, that's just me being a good, nice Christian." Right? No, all of those prayers matter. Because they are the ones that Scripture is talking about. They are the think of it this way, they're the lasting presence of God in heaven. They are among the lasting presence of all of eternity. How do you feel about your prayers now? They're there forever. That incense, that aroma, that burning, that sacrifice is going to be there when you get there. Isn't that going to be fantastic? Because I can't wait to get there and see maybe some of my prayers that haven't burned up yet because they didn't get answered the way I thought they should, or they hadn't been answered yet. And I'm going to say, can you answer me a question right now? Why are those still there? Why do these matter if you didn't answer them? And what Scripture says God will say back to me is because you were faithful to pray them. You may not have been aligned with my will, but you were faithful to pray them. You may not have been aligned with my mission, but you were faithful to pray them because you believed. Because you believed. We are not raised from the dead and left in the graveyard. We are raised from the dead and we are seated with him in eternity right now and then physically one day when we get there. We are seated there in the heavenlies. Like Lazarus, you've been called out of the grave into eternity. And we're just slowly going that way, slowly getting there. What we need to do is fill eternity with our praises for God. I want you to hear this out of Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled," this is the really important part, "that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Everything, I say it, if I don't say it weekly, I am shocked. All the time I say, you have the fullness of God inside of you. Why are we not living like it? Why are we not praying like it? Why are we not acting like it? Why are we not reflecting it and showing it to the world? Because we're timid. Because we don't understand what it really means, what the action really does, what the faithfulness looks like. What I want to say is just start trying. Just start doing it. Just start acting it out. It might be in a little way, and you might really take a giant leap of faith and do something great and grandiose for the Lord. Doesn't matter. Just start. Because all of that, all of it matters to the Lord. Every bit of it matters to the Lord. And so if we go back, I just want to look at one thing here. Let's see. Phillip Brooks. This is from last week, but I just want to say it again. When we talk about God-sized prayers, Phillip Brooks says this. He says, "Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men and women. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers that are equal to your tasks." See, that's a different kind of prayer. Not, "Lord, save me," but, "Lord, give me the strength and the power to handle this. Lord, not to fix this, but Lord, you give me the strength and the power. Let me see your mission of how I'm to walk through this with either on my own with you or with somebody else, or for me to stand with somebody else as they walk through it." See, this is a different idea about how we pray. This is a different idea than probably most of us have ever been taught. Because what we want God to do, or at least let me just say it about myself, is I want God to fix everything. Amen? Yeah. I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to have to go through that. I don't like that. That's terrible. That's tragic. That's hard. That's not fun. Whatever. You know, but yet, it's all going to happen. And so, Lord, you show me how to live through this. Lord, you give me the faith, you give me the belief, you give me the knowledge to be able to show people who you are in the midst of this. I want to pray in a way that shakes not just the ground, but that shakes your life, that shakes my life, that shakes the life of the world, right? I want those prayers that shake. And so here's a few things that you can take with you this week, okay? Number one, don't get stuck. Don't get stuck in your inactivity. Don't get stuck in your doubts. Don't get stuck in your non-prayer life. Don't get stuck in your shame. Don't get stuck in your shyness. Don't get stuck in your lack of knowledge. Just start doing it, right? You did not know how to ride a bike until whoever taught you how to ride a bike let go, right? And I bet, I remember, there's a video of it, that's how I remember. I remember looking back, right, and seeing my dad back down the driveway, not knowing that I was riding that bike on my own. And guess what happened as soon as I realized I was riding that bike on my own? Bam! Yeah. And then I had to do it again. And then I had to do it again. And then I had to do it again. See, I believe this is where God works in our lives, and this is how he works in our prayer lives, right? We start, and he's holding on to us. He's got the spiritual training wheels on us, and we're going, and we're going, and we're going, and we're going. And at some point, I don't know when, and there's no age limit, there's no requirement, there's no prerequisite. At some point, we look down, or we look back, or we look up, and we're just doing it on our own, right? Not on our own without him. He never lets us go, but we don't have the training wheels on anymore. He's still with us. He's riding with us. He's leading us, but we are just finally doing it. But you have to start somewhere. And there's going to be mistakes. There's going to be scratches. You're going to get banged up. You're going to fall off. People are going to make fun of you. But yet, we still do it over and over and over again. Don't get stuck. And don't fixate on the way God works, okay? Let me say it a different way. Don't get stuck. Don't fixate on the way you... How do I want to say that? Don't fixate on how God is working, right? That you're trying to figure out how God is working. Is he doing this? Is he doing this? Is he not doing anything? Am I praying the wrong prayers? No, just fixate on the fact that God is working. Fixate on the fact that you know he's moving. You asked, right? You sent the prayer. He knows the circumstance. And do you think he's going to ignore that? No, he's working. Don't fixate on how he's working. Fixate on the fact that he is working. And say, Lord, just reveal that to me. Because sometimes I need it revealed to me so I can tell you. And sometimes you need it revealed to yourself so you can tell me. So we can work this out together each and every day. And then finally, stop praying wimpy prayers. So that's God-sized prayers, and that's the more politically correct way to say it. We pray wimpy prayers. We pray un-God-sized prayers. We just ask for the bare minimum. Or sometimes we ask for less than the bare minimum, and we'll go, if you'll just get me, you know, I need here, but if you'll just get me to here, I'll work out the rest of the way. No, go above and beyond, right? I mean, go far beyond that. So when God responds and he hears you, he goes, oh, Matt does know what I'm capable of. I may not work it out that way for you, Matt, but you know what I'm capable of. You have belief. Just as Jesus said to the Roman centurion who said, you don't have to come to my house to raise my daughter from the dead. You just speak a word right now and she will be raised. And Jesus said, I've not heard anyone, no one have a faith like that. See, that's what he's looking for. That's how he wants us to live. Those are prayers that shake. See, I want your prayers to really make a difference in the world. And I want them to make a difference for you, and I want them to make a difference for the kingdom. But you know what? I'm kind of selfish this way because I love you, and I worry about you, and I'm concerned about you, and I will be there when you need me always. But yet, you know who I'm more worried about? The people that are not here and don't know who Jesus is. And when you start praying prayers for them that shake their life, it's going to wake them up. And they're going to start asking questions. They're going to start taking notice. They're going to start seeing that there is a one true living God, and he can affect the world, and he can affect their life, and he can give them freedom, and he can give them eternal life. But if you're not praying for them and you're not speaking those words, they may never know it. Because that's what they prayed for in Acts. That's what they asked for. They weren't asking just for themselves. No, they were asking for the boldness to proclaim the kingdom of God to the world. And when we do that, boy, I think earthquakes are going to start happening. I think foundations are going to shake. I think our lives are going to shake. I think we won't be able to have the capacity to do what God needs to be done, and that's going to usher in the second coming of Christ. See, when that happens, that's when everything changes. So, what do you need to pray for? How do you need to pray? Who is it that you need to be praying with or praying for? You need to really start thinking about those things, and not, I'm going to say it, and it's not a mean-spirited statement, but not just the, oh Lord, fix my husband. Not picking on wives, I'm not that dumb. Fix my children, and then you go off about your day. I need money. I need my car to work. I need. He wants to hear all those, and I want you to do those. But at the same time, Lord, give me the boldness to proclaim your love to my husband or to my wife or to my children. or to my neighbor. Give me the boldness to offer forgiveness to that person that I can't stand that really hurt me. Lord, give me the compassion for that person that so many people don't love because they're so horrible and despicable in the world. Lord, it's a whole different concept. And at the same time, Lord, I need restored health. Lord, I do need my finances repaired. Lord, show me how to walk through that process. Prayers that shake. I'm going to pray for you that you'll start receiving that power. Lord God, not just as a benediction, not as a call to action, but Father, as an appeal to your mission. Bring your power. Reveal it in every one of our lives. Because we do have a lion inside of us. The line of Judah. Lord, we need to unleash him into the world through our prayers, through our love, through our compassion and mercy, through our accountability, not only for others, but accountability for ourselves. Lord, as a father, as we think about Father's Day and our earthly fathers, Lord, the compassion that you have for us, that mercy that you have for us, that eternal love that caused a sacrifice for us, Lord, let that flow into every man in this room, no matter if they have children or not, no matter how young or old they are, whether they're dads now or they're dads to be. Lord, bring that into this room, and we will change the face of the earth starting right here, just in that one action. Lord, you want so much more. You want so much more. Let it be so. Let it be so in the name of Christ. And all the people said, amen. Dads, why don't you stand up? I don't know about all of you, but I just thought of this as I was praying. Probably I guess there's two great joys in my life, and they run neck and neck, and you'll know what I mean by this. One day one's in first place, and the other day the other's in first place. But the two greatest joys in my earthly life outside of my salvation are this woman back here playing the keyboard, my wife, and then because of her, this daughter. And I wouldn't have one without the other. And so for Macy, I think just for me, and I know dads, you can relate to this, you are one of the greatest joys of my life. Just being able to be your dad, just being able to love on you and care for you and pinch your head off on occasion. Dads, if you don't have that joy in your life, even in the midst of a little bit of frustration here and there, man, my prayer for you right now, that's why I had you stand, is Lord God, for these dads and for the ones that are on this stage and the ones watching online, Lord, that you would pour the joy into their hearts that you have for your children, that they would pour into the hearts of their own children, whether they're 5 years old or whether they're 50 years old. Lord, that joy, Lord, that gratitude that we should have for them because of your love for us. Lord, they are, as your scripture says, Lord, they are an inheritance from the Lord. Lord, let us treat them as such. Lord, let us pass on our faith to them that they would grow in wisdom and knowledge and power by the Holy Spirit. Lord, make it so for these dads today. In Jesus' name, all the people said, if you agree with that and you want to bless them, say amen. that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints. You are the saints, by the way, which is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the blessing for you today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to have the knowledge, to have the wisdom, to have the power, and to use it to shake the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.